Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. If you're visiting with us this morning, we give you a special welcome and invite you to coffee hour after the services. We have a couple announcements this morning. I just want to say to those of you that are making announcements that last week I worshiped in Atlanta with a congregation that when the announcements got too long, they just cut the microphone off in the back. So beware. Okay, Carrie.
My husband's running the microphone. He better not cut me off. We had a great start to our spirit journey on Thursday night. We're still taking sign-ups for all the other legs of our journey. Today is the last day to sign up for the wine and cheese leg, which is Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Also, we will be traveling to Syracuse to hear Eben Alexander, who wrote the book Proof of Heaven about his near-death experience. This is my copy, which is available. If anyone would like to borrow and read it, just let me know. I'll be down in Fellowship Hall taking sign-ups, and I'll have it there. Thank you.
Good morning. Don't cut me, Gary. On behalf of the Trustees Committee, I just want to make the first announcement that on Saturday, May 4th, 8:30 in the morning, the Trustees will host the annual spring cleanup. And if you have 1 hour or two, we have a job for you.
Good morning to all of you. I have an interesting second hour. Jim Gray, who is a member of the church. He's a family man for doing funerals and giving you a lot of information. You can ask questions. And also they're going to talk about our new memorial garden. So I hope a lot of people will show up. And the best part is, he told me this morning, no charge at all.
Tough act to file that one. Just to piggyback off that, to let you know today, there's a table outside the sanctuary, and the Memorial Garden Committee will be taking orders for bricks to be engraved for our pathway, which is dug. If you haven't seen it, if it would warm up, just take a look. You can go right outside this door, any way you can get to the outside. Also, I just wanted to quickly let you know who's been involved in this Memorial Garden process. The folks are Don Chapin, Ed Coons, Reverend Melissa DeRosia, Peter Deary, Mary Hughes, Bay Meyer, J.C. Roshan, Barb Snape, myself, and Tom Ward, and a few others. So if you have any questions about it, please see one of us, and we will have information after Jim's presentation.
Let us now prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you.
Please stand, if able, and join me in the call to worship printed in the bulletin. God has made this day.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
The God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead raises us to new life daily. Thanks be to God. Let us worship this resurrecting God. God, confessing our sins, we can be assured that God forgives us over and over again. Let us pray. Lord, save us from ourselves.
For we often continue to do the same things over and over, expecting different results.
Lord, save us from doing too much. Lord, save us from doing too little.
For we say we love you, and yet so often we neglect our sheep.
Lord, save us from ourselves. Help us to hear and respond when you say, follow me. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Jesus is alive. His Spirit lives in us. We are forgiven.
Let us rejoice together.
Praise be to God. Amen. Good morning. You know, I wanted to share a story with you, a story that happened to me when I was about your age. When I was little, I used to live in North Carolina. And one of the things I loved doing in North Carolina was fishing. How many of you like to fish? How many of you have been fishing? How many of you would like to go fishing? All right. Got some fisher people here. Well, one sunny summer day, I went fishing with my father. We went out on the beach. And that's the way I like to fish, from the beach. And I would throw my rod into the ocean and pull it back up like this. And that particular day, I'd pull it up and I didn't have any fish. It's very discouraging. Sometimes the fish would eat the bait and I'd have to rebait it, but I didn't catch any fish. So my father said to me, "Why don't you go down the beach a little bit and maybe you'll find a better spot to fish?" I didn't really want to do that because that meant I had to carry the pail and fish and shrimp, bait, and all of those things. But I thought, oh, well, I'm not getting anywhere here. So, okay, I'll walk down the beach. So I did, and my father went with me, and we walked down the beach, and I threw my line into a different spot. And all of a sudden, something started tagging, pulling the line. So I thought, I've got a fish. So I started pulling in the fish. And it was tough. I had to get my father's help. And finally we got the fish in, better than I'm doing up here now. Anyway, it wasn't just any kind of fish. It was a what? A shark. A shark, that's right. I think the dog did say shark. It wasn't a big shark. It was just a tiny shark. But it was a shark. And so my father was right. If I changed spots, I would have a whole lot more luck. Now, the story, the Bible story for today, is about Jesus' disciples. They decided to go fishing. They fished all night long. And they caught nothing. And so then this man was standing on the beach
he said, why don't you try putting your net, because they didn't fish with rod, they fished with net. Why don't you try putting your nets on the other side of the boat? So they took their nets, threw them on the other side of the boat, and guess what happened? That's exactly right. They caught lots of fish. 153 to be exact. That's a lot of fish. And then they looked up and they realized who that man on the beach was. And who do you think it was? Jesus. That's exactly right. Jesus was helping them by telling them, do things in a different way. And sometimes I think Jesus wants us to do things in a different way, especially if the old ways aren't working. For instance, perhaps at school there's a child who everybody makes fun of and teases, and that child's really lonely. Jesus wants you to do it differently. Jesus doesn't want you to be part of the people who are teasing and making fun of the child. Jesus wants you to be kind to the child. Or another example might be, perhaps you go to your friend's home, they have a new toy, and they say, you can play with all my toys, but you cannot play with this new toy. Jesus doesn't really like that. Jesus wants us to share, so when people come to your home, even when you have a new toy, you can share the toy. So let's have a prayer. Oh God, thank you for helping us. Show us new ways to do things so we can share your love. Amen. All right, you may go to your classes.
first reading of the Word will be Psalms 30. I shall exalt you, Lord. You have lifted me up. You have not let my enemies be jubilant over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you, and you healed me. You have brought me up, Lord, from the shoal, and saved my life as I was sinking into the abyss. Sing a psalm to the Lord, all you his loyal servants. Give thanks to his holy name. In his anger is distress. In his favor there is life. Tears may linger at nightfall, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I felt secure and said, I can never be shaken. Lord, by your favor you made my mountain strong. When you hid your face, I was struck with dismay. To you, Lord, I called and pleaded with you for mercy. What profit is there in my death, in my going down to the pit? Can the dust praise you? Can it proclaim your truth? Hear, Lord, and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my laments into dancing. You have stripped off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that I may sing psalms to you without ceasing. Lord, my God, I shall praise you forever. Lord, grant light and wisdom in his words.
The second reading this morning is from John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together with Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? And they answered, no. And he said to them, and cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Well, because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, You know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. And he said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to Peter, follow me. Jesus is patiently waiting, intently watching, as the sun breaks through the dark night. In this beautiful story, we can almost hear the waves gently rolling onto the shore. We can see the orange hues of the sunrise. We can smell the charcoal burning on the beach. We remember another early morning stories only weeks ago. The morning when the women with lamenting hearts lovingly brought selected spices to Jesus' tomb, only to discover an empty tomb. But now, it's dawn again. Weeks later, and Jesus is standing on the beach watching those very same disciples to whom the women had run to tell about the astonishing news of the empty tomb. Today, they were in their boat, fishing, returning to what they understood, returning to what was familiar. Fishing. Perhaps they were even trying to distract their minds from the events of the prior weeks, from the obsessively replaying conversations in their heads. Will you remember those conversations? You are not one of his disciples, are you? I am not, Peter said. Well, unless I see the mark of the nails and put my finger in the mark, I will not believe, Thomas had said. Yes, since that last Passover meal, waves of doubt, denial, terror, despair had rolled over these men like the waters now rolling around their boat. I guess it's not too surprising that in the struggle to process what they had seen, said, and done, they retreated to their boat, to the water, to the net. But apparently, they weren't any better fishermen than they had been disciples, because their nets were empty. And at that point, the man on the shore spoke up. He simply suggested, hey kids, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. I imagine he really wanted to say, you know, the same old, same old, the same old is just not working for you. Try something different. You can almost hear the grumbling men from the boat. We know what we're doing. We've come from generations of fishermen. But to their credit, they did try the other side of the boat and, in fact, filled their net with fish. Well, who is that wise man standing on the shore? What? It's Jesus. They recognize him. And Peter jumps out of the boat while the others bring the boat to shore. And Jesus welcomes them all
and the party begins. A reunion bash like no other. Well, I'm sure many of you have attended your high school or college reunions. You're probably familiar with those reunion unresolved emotions that can crop up. Anger, regret, self-doubt. You may also be familiar with those reunion-type questions like, who is that? Is that you? Remember me? Remember when? Reunions are times of regathered community. They are a chance to begin again with people for whom you once cared. And that is exactly what this story is about. A regathered community of people who care deeply for each other. Personally, I find it remarkable that Jesus returns to the very same people who disappointed him so much. Yet sitting around that charcoal fire, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And 3 times Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." We can almost hear the echoes from the night of Jesus' arrest. 3 times Peter was asked, "Are you not one of his disciples?" And 3 times Peter responded, "No, no, I'm not." Amazing. We can deny God, doubt God, reject God, but God still forgives us. Yes, extraordinary, amazing grace abounds in this ordinary meal, a breakfast on the beach. And extraordinary opportunities also abound in this meal on the beach. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Follow me. We can be certain that in the midst of our ordinary lives, Christ is continually saying to us, "Come, come, let us reunite." That regardless of our failures, our disappointments, our addictions, our despairs, our confusions, our doubts, our denials, Christ is inviting us to do things differently, to make a change, to throw the nets on the other side of the boat, to follow Christ. Do we hear the call? Are we jumping out of our comfortable boats? Or do we hesitate just a bit, even turn back? After all, sometimes it's just too overwhelming. The needs are great. And I confess, sometimes I not only want to stay on the familiar fishing boat, but I also want to crawl deep in the bow of it. In fact, try getting me off Alder Beach Road on Mondays. Trust me, I'm deep in the bow of the boat. But when we hide from the world, we miss the joy of reunion with Christ and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We miss the opportunity to learn, to grow through Christ. This week, I invite you to pay attention to one thing in your life that you have avoided doing because you think it would just make you too uncomfortable. You You know, it doesn't have to be a big change the world kind of thing, but no doubt it will be a small change the world kind of thing. Perhaps it's reconnecting with a friend whom you have lost contact, or maybe even serving at St. Joseph's on Saturday, or visiting one of our homebound folks, or telling a loved one you're sorry over a hurtful thing you said, or even committing to save water by taking shorter showers. We all have our own list. That one would be on mine. This week, try jumping out of your comfort zone. Throw your net on the other side of the boat and reunite with Jesus on the shore. For you see, this resurrection thing, it's full of surprises. Great surprises that'll change your life. The good news is, Easter wasn't one fine morning outside an empty tomb. No, it's ongoing. Easter is about reuniting over and over and over again with Christ. After all, Jesus is patiently waiting and intently watching as the rising sun breaks through the dark night for you and for our world. Jesus is waiting to welcome us. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
I'd like to share a prayer of joy that my grandparents came up to visit me from Binghamton, and I don't get to see them that often, so it's great that they're here.
Welcome.
Irene Ward, I would just like to say hallelujah.
That was fabulous. Thank you.
Jim Paul, I'd like prayers for Sue and her family. Last week, her mother, somewhere between 88 and 90 years old, was run over by a car. Yesterday I found out she's been taken to an adult rehab center. Her father's 93 and then using other methods to get around himself, so there's a real concern there. And I'm asking for divine intervention with your prayers, please.
Neil and I are grateful to be able to return to church, and we wanted to thank Melissa and Anna for their visits and bringing us communion, which we were very thankful for. And also the congregation for their notes and phone calls of concern. Thanks a lot.
Glad to have you back.
Andrea Unson, I just want to ask for prayers for my nephew, Jonathan Shepherd, who has his second tryout with the New York Yankees today. So prayers for him.
Exciting. You're excited.
Yes. This is a joy. Another great grandbaby, number 7, was born on Thursday. You probably read it in the bulletin. Noah Joshua Ostrander. And be prepared. Number 8 is coming in July.
That's Jody's
baby. Linda Sidori. First of all, I'd like to say I'm so appreciative that we have such variety in our music, that God is a God of diversity, and I love that diversity in our music today. But I also would like prayers for the family of a Spence support teacher who passed away on Friday.
Donna Schott, I would like prayers for my sister, Cheryl Battaglia. She's going through some health issues. She will be seeing a surgeon tomorrow, probably most likely gallbladder issues.
From our children, there's a prayer request that a mother fell down the stairs. Evidently, she's okay, but let's pray for. And also, we want to pray for Jean Mason's family, Phyllis Titus's sister, who passed away last week. Let us pray. Inviting God, we stand before you this morning rejoicing that you come into our lives inviting us to follow you. We give you thanks for the diverse and intriguing opportunities to which you call us. Indeed, you ask us to step beyond what is comfortable and familiar. And in your challenge, we grow and we learn about ourselves, about others, and about you. We give you thanks that you never give up on us, even when we resist your call, but continue to reunite with us. Indeed, we dream of a world where folks can sit together, share a meal, and envision ways to love you by caring for your people. Yet sometimes we are discouraged. The strong war rhetoric of nations frighten us and remind us of times we thought we had moved beyond. Enlighten our world leaders so that they may know ways to transform war chants into global conversations. Help us all to find new ways, different ways, of solving global issues, ways that reflect the peace and justice of your kingdom. And this morning we come praying for the families of Jean Mason and Marjorie Woods as they grieve the loss of Jean and Marjorie. We give you thanks for Marjorie and Jean, and for their long dedication to the mission and ministry of this congregation. And we ask you to be with others we know and love going through difficult times. Show us ways to be vehicles of your love. Hear us now as we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Heavenly Father, please receive these gifts of our tithes and of our offerings, a small portion of the bounty that you share with us. May it be used to bring glory to your name and bring your light into this troubled world. And all this we pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
that with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Gave us the number back in the control. Okay.